Hotel was giving you some basic information like how to deal with data and what are the tools that can be used to parse these data and to extract some meaningful information from the raw trip.
Probably I'll write the discussion with basic analysis and a way to find out clusters of users using some algorithm, and then we discuss a little about network theory tools that first represent the data in form of a graph, like a graph with key edges and vertices, and then how you can use some network theory approaches to extract meaningful information from that. This is a sample raw trace that we collect from access points at this point of time. The first trace is an association. When you log into the network, the access point actually gets this kind of information. The red color is actually the time when this was reported, and the blue is the WIN AP 1200 is actually the access point name, while November 17, 0002 is your start time of the time when you actually connected onto the access point. And the second trace is actually the session trace. When you key in your data link username and password, you are now authorized to surf internet, check your emails, and do something on the internet. So that was that requires the username. So here actually changed the name to Bob, and the same MAC address actually is reflected in the session trace that is from the association trace. Now you have a complementary set of two other traces. Like here we have an association trace, you get a deassociation trace also. So when you get out of that access point or you connect to some other access point, then you get a deassociation. And similarly you get a logout trace as a session one. Now what all information can we extract from these kind of data is all these. You get the host MAC address. We are talking about trace analysis and how you can use these traces and their representation. Okay, so this is a raw trace, and the information that we can get is all these. So here on the slide, we get host MAC address, start time, end time, access point name, and you can just convert that same time into timestamp, and you can get the building information also. Then actually, sometimes it does happen that if you have a cell phone or a mobile phone that you're using to connect onto access point, you move along a certain path from one place to another, and you may have that deassociation also happens and association happens at some different access points. So you may have a different set of records that you sometimes need to manage and to find out a session. Then Udain also use this kind of information to get usernames from phone directory and things like that. And if you use like number theory and counting, then you can know like a particular host visited how many times at set of location at what time. And I mean, like all these different combinations you can find out from just these different information.
You mean like which access point belongs to this building?
Yeah.
We are almost like 70 to 80%, right? So not all the buildings and not all the access points, but
That means most of the building has no hypervisor.
Drive from the actual plane name itself?
Yes.
Can you another or is it?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately this, like the one we have here. Yes, oh, in this
blue one, like T40, T41, so usually this is some buildings you should also get, but mostly it would be like TSE41 and then with AB1200. So AB1200 is kind of like this four out of the Cisco access number. I don't know which one of those you are.
Right, and we have also the mapping between the buildings and the GPS coordinates as well.
Yes.
So all this information can be important thing to talk about. I think Natasha and we spoke yesterday afternoon about how to use the data. So first actually to concentrate what is your problem statement and then use the data set. Don't start hitting onto the data. It may, like, you end up just analyzing data and for some reason. So first try to formulate your problem, and it's very short amount of time, like I think only 3 weeks left for this. So Udayan gave you like 15,000 or more records, like I think 500,000 records or something, right? So don't use the complete data set. Use only for 1,000 users which have at least 100 sessions or 100 logins. So enrich your data instead of like having the complete data set. You will do it faster and quickly, all your results and everything. So concentrate only on the small part of the data which you think is important.
Very valuable advice. Very easy to get off the data and analyze it. Well, I focus your problem on the problem, and certainly that's a part of something you know is going to be very, very soon. Even if it's not going to be the exact most final result, you just extract an example that is meaningful. Like put a builder, I want these to be active, and extract 1,000 out of 50,000 users, and then run things, many, many things on them quickly. And then once you start seeing something promising and so on, once you settle on which is going to be almost the final set of results you're going to use, then and only then you can run on the whole sample. It's basically if you're writing your code, you can make it. It's almost always going to be a bug somewhere, not going to be run the first time. And you want to find that quickly. You don't want to sit there for weeks. I missed this here and there, or I wanted to get more data. So I think these guys have been working with the figures for a long time. So.
Now, from that information, we usually have this data extracted. Start time, the access point. So this is this file actually is for one single user, and each line of this slide represents each session of the user. So user connected in all 6 times in this case, it's sample. So the first column is the start time, then which location, and then the duration of the time. So now if you want to find out the locations, just start counting the locations. You can compare the start time and end time of two users with its own start time and end time, and you can play around with different combinations now. Now one of the no, this is actually I got from data for that, but then it can be exported in any format you want. If you want a text file, a CSV, or just query the database.
You have to have a
So you know how CSV format looks like?
Yeah,
it's simple, like, you use this data instead of spaces just have a semicolon or whatever the hand does. I'll talk about like a simple algorithm that we implemented, and actually has this kind of output. So the first column shows how many times a set of users appear together at the same location. The second column is actually how many users, like 6 users, and the third column is actually all the users. So basically these users are converted into some numbers just to anonymize it. So 1411, 14988, these 6 users actually appear 2 times at certain locations. So you can think that calculating this kind of information is very tough, because you have almost like 100 sessions each user has, like the one which I showed you in the previous column, which is a table of users. Then you have around 12,000 users. So if you want to see that each user start time, end time is changed. So here we see that what are the problems we can face when we do clustering of users.
Okay, so tell us first some very simple problems.
So the problem here is we want to list the users from our database.
But what does that mean?
How many times you actually encounter other users at the same location? So we are meeting right now and professor and today and everything encounters the other long with the same access form. So this is an encounter what we define.
But usually what we process is pairwise. So you have encounters between A and B. I think the process you want to see is what if you have an encounter with 3 people together, 4 people together, 5 people together, 6 people together, and so on. But you want to see these people as a group here over and over and over and over again. And if you think of it, in the pairwise, you would go and see who appear together and so on. If you want to at 3 or 4 or 5 repeatedly in the train. The complexity seems pretty high. So you have all these different combinations between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right?
So consider that we have around 100 sessions of each user. And we have around 12,000 users. And we have 8,000. How to ensure that how many users are together, like how many pairs of 3 are together, how many pairs of 4 are together, like, what is it?
Have the losing encounter, and you have the encounter. yeah, so for our collaborators, we don't have any of the bridges there, so we have to make some assumptions. Although they may not be completely accurate, but given that you have been at the same access point, as whether it's today's technology or tomorrow's technology, we're likely able to communicate if you want to.
So now going to the question, like how do you just actually encounter each other? How do you define the encounter? So based on two safety rules, the first rule is user connects to the same access point. So we have a user X whose location is equal to user Y location. So this case processor has to then finally have the Boolean truth. And the second thing is whether user X start time is lesser than or end time. So don't go into that loop, but see this. So here user A and user B, and they have four different ways of intersecting their start time and end time. Whether they start at the same time and end at the same time. Whether user A started a little later, but here they have a little of intersection. There is an intersection. But four different ways to show how the user can have a common session time.
So to find out, based on this information, we wrote a program using MinHeap. If you know the MinHeap works, because the Sargent group is going to require this kind of work to find out the periodicity and everything. So MinHeap is nothing but the root node is having a value less than its children, left and the right node.
And
I have that. Where's that slide actually? This slide actually comes first. So how
we implemented this thing? First, we started using the
level of Y here.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm working on one
project in which we are trying to find out whether there are communities in V languages or not. And we define a community as a set of users who are together and at the same access point at the same time. So to find out those set of users, we need to have some basic assumptions. The basic assumptions were the two if statements that I showed today. But to find out this kind of information of more than two users, quite tricky and takes a lot of time. So we use this data structure to find out a set of users who are not in at the same time, and it can be any number of users, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all possible combinations up to n, and n could be anything like 100 users for this. Yes, so in this case, the first column actually is the number of times they met. Second column is how many users, and third is the all those users, the set of users. So, like 12 is actually the 12 number of times these five users met. And they met at the same location and they have a common time. So, we all are actually having at least one of a common time. So, this is how this information is displayed. But I use it for my own purpose because I just need this thing. But if you can extend this program, you can have location list also, another column here, all their met, their timings and dates and everything. So we have all this information, but I displayed only these three things.
So what are the possible extensions you can do to go ahead?
Actually parses the complete trace. So
first how I implemented this algorithm. Let's talk about this quickly. So first I sorted the complete data set using the location. The traces based on location.
What do you mean sorting based on location?
I mean all the location.
Actually what usually we have is we have, each user has a node file, and it has like 100 sessions or 5 sessions, 10 sessions. What I did is, I aggregated all the trace, and then I sorted using the location. So all the locations and their corresponding sessions are together, and second location and its corresponding sessions are all together. Now this thing is first done, and then second sorting is done based on the start time. So within the same location, I sorted using the start time. So if user X has a start time of 1, then user Y has a start time of 2 for the same location. Then we can have location P, then location P. You're getting it? So this is how the complete sorting is done at the first level.
So at the end, you will get for location 1.
All sorted.
Log in first, the yes. Second, the third, and so on. So then you start with location.
Yes, location
P.
Location
P. All right.
Yes.
And then what
do
you do with that?
So, the min heap insertion is based on the start time, and I'm extracting the users. Like one should be extracted first. If you know the basic implementation of min heap, then the user that would be extracted would be the root user.
Have a tendency
of working
with this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So this is the min heap implementation. When you insert a node, the insertion will take place as a rule that the root node has the lowest value.
So what is 1 represent?
So what is the root? And if you can say in our terms is basically the end time in this case. So these are all the min heap is made using the end time. But
so what is using a min heap for end time to attest, like to tell how does that help you?
Basically, what we are trying to do is we are trying to extract users who are having the same time. Right?
So you want basically to group people who have the same character together.
Yes.
Right?
So like you can say this here, they have a size range. 1, 2, 3, 4. So a user which is having an end time of 1, it will be extracted from the main group. Then we go to the time loop, right? Then we see with the cases. If there is a user who has a start time of 2, we will insert it into the mid. Then we'll go to the start time phase. Right?
You start time to end time.
No, I mean like that's what I'm saying. Right? If you are inserting it, to use the start time, and when you are extracting it, so you will you should extract it using the end time. So this mean heap is actually on the end time. Now you can see that say we have a start time of 1. At start time of 1, you will insert all the users who have a start time of 1 first, right? And then you shuffle that user, or that you create a min heap like this based on the end time user. So you extract all the users in the second step, you extract all the users who have end time of 1. You get it?
So the main idea is that if you're trying at that action, that
yes.
Will be overlapped. Then you have an account. That's why you have to look at the start time and the end time to see if they overlap. If you count that as an account.
Yes. So here, you target the start time and you extract it with the end time. So the start time and end time is having an intersection.
So everybody needs to do this between counting at the same time.
Or they have a distance of some time of the program and counting.
Someone that you've inserted them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they have come in the heap, they already are there at this rate.
Yeah.
At the same location. So this is per location.
This is per location.
Per location. So someone that you inserted them, they're already there.
Yes.
And then almost everybody who is at heap is encountering, and then
yes.
When you start extracting them, then that encounter has ended.
Yes.
So you're right.
So and then that time finishes, we have to remove that load from the heap. Because it's time finished. So since the time limit is going off, if the start time and end time finished too.
Has it been helping if you don't want to use the waterless land space to turn it into an encounter space, even if you don't solve your own problem, right?
Yeah, we can also use it.
But we have already the encounter space. Haven't we we done the process already and have the account traces for that material? So again, if you are interested in encounter traces per se, without of where they have encountered and so on, but many of you may actually want to do your own processing because you're looking at location, you're looking at classes, you're looking at different kinds of functions, and so on. It may be helpful to map the raw traces as well.
And then you have a spare room.
We give you all different combinations. User, single user login, two user login, three user login, four, five, six, and how many times.
And it was specific for your own problem.
Yes.
So each of you, when you define your own problem, you may find minor things that you may not have looked at. Maybe. I think we need to go
through. Yes, sir. I'll just take two more slides and I'll probably then we'll give some more details on that. Okay.
Yeah. So how do you get this, you know, the count and the...
So let's see on this one. Okay, so first start using the location here, right?
Okay.
And then we started using the sun there.
Okay.
Now we created a key for each location and user we need to extract the earliest finish time using the end time that we have in the first we insert at that particular time unit and then we extract all the users. And then all the users are actually extracted and create a string, and that string is represented as a key in a heap map. So a heap map is a data structure which has a key that is here. A key is a set of users. And
I
okay, no, it's for the kitchen for over there. So I get all the set of users and as a key. And the value could be there only according once and the value could be one. Then second time if I got the same set of users, I search for that particular key in the heat map. If that key is present, I will increase that value by 1, so 10 is for the first time. If I get found out the same thing as well. So, if I heat map, I have the list of users and set a quantity number of users. So, that is how it actually completely works. But you can change the complete thing to manage all these possible extensions. Like you can maintain a heat map for location where all these locations are where you get how many number of times you need a key value there. Or you can maintain a timestamp schedule for that doesn't for your project. You just have to extend this program. And based on this information like time, domain, and you can find out regularity or you can find out periodicity as well. Like Sungbu can be on our website. So basically, as a groundwork, this is something that it gives you so the user cluster, the cluster of users who belong to a location and at a date. And now it's on you how to extend that, what kind of information you want to extend. So basic framework is there, now you can start to add onto that.
Probably we don't have enough time to discuss the. This thing, so then we'll probably talk about
different companies. So if you just go and just go through this less than a minute, say,
okay.
If you're required to be interested in some of that, you can see later on if you can include it, whatever you have, the layout, or they would have that. Just go through it.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So basically, this is a way to represent in a graph fashion. Here we have four different nodes. Oh, okay. So these are the different ways in which you can find out the
importance of each user, each location in a trace. For that, you need to use these different measures. Then we have eigenvector that shows which node is important, which node is not important. Then this is another way to find out which nodes are important using the bipartite graph. Closeness is how two locations, how two users are close. To find out that kind of information, we have the closeness centrality. Yes, and the betweenness centrality is out of 8 different locations, which location is the most important location. If you remove that location, then your network will be disconnected. So to find out that particular information, you use this kind of information. Yeah. So this is like X is the most important. Then probably this is some more information, but then it uses some more complex.
So basically, I will be talking about clustering and epidemic modeling. These two things are used in the research work I have done till now. And these can be really important if you guys are trying to analyze the spaces. So, are you guys aware of clustering? So, that was one kind of clustering. Yes.
So, I think very possible to do, but told you how to do it in a basic way. Nonetheless, in the end, you end up with kind of an histogram of your native community and grouping people together. But it's not clustering in the sense that we iterate as a threshold to try to add this to the system. I think Uday has.
So basically, what I mean there by clustering is that it's an automatic technique. So you have standard algorithms. Use those algorithms which can classify your data automatically. You don't have to do anything. So what you have to tell it is that you have to tell how many clusters you're looking for. Say, let me take an example of visitors and regular users at a location. So your goal is to find out that who is a regular user of an access point and who is a visitor. So how would you do that? So you would probably try to see who logs in every day and who doesn't log in every day. But then the thing would come in that, okay, what do you mean, if is the regular user logging in every day? Or what is the threshold? Then you will say, okay, if the user logs in for 30 days, I would consider him as a regular user, or if he logs in more than 20 days, I would consider him as a regular user. What would you do? So you basically, you have to set a threshold. And clustering algorithms can do that for you. So what they do is they look at two different users and they would try to find out what the distance between them. And the distance between two users is based on the matrix you give it to them. So what you can use is you can use the number of times you log in to that access point, you can use the number of distinct days you log in, and also the duration you spend at the matrix point. These three things can be given to it as a distance matrix. And then your clustering algorithm will try to find out two users who are far apart. And then if you keep them into two different bits, and that's how the clustering is done. So there are several thousands of clustering algorithms available, but few popular ones are the K-means, which is a very simple one. There is a PAM, which is partition around medioids. Then there is hierarchy clustering, and there are several more. The way you use one over the other is depending on your needs. So once you decide that you have to do some kind of a clustering, then you have to read the literature and find out which one is useful. sometimes you have to.
You can't do it without
Facebook,
right?
Yeah,
they're not. They probably have to maybe ask for support and maybe just go for 3 or 4 of the main ones.
At least you can look at the two main classes of clustering resources, which is hierarchical and agglomerative clustering. So there are two different classes of clustering, and you can go and see which one suits you best. And for doing clustering, you don't probably, if you use a standard algorithm, you don't have to code at all. You can use standard libraries in R. You guys familiar with R? So R is a statistical tool software. It's very popular, not in engineering, but in social sciences. It has a lot of packages for statistics. And MATLAB, I guess, everybody, all of you are aware of. So they both have a lot of clustering algorithms. And you can just use the standard library. So yeah. For me, I use PAP, partition around users. And I wanted to separate regular users from visitors at a location. And the clustering I did was on time spent at this point, number of sessions, and distinct days or login at a location. And using these three metrics, I could separate regular users from visitors. Any questions? So it depends really on the physics. If I use number of sessions, then you have to do some kind of processing on the page to get number of sessions for the user. But there you go. Probably you can do it on location.
You don't need a cluster. I have a lot of locations for that.
Yeah.
I don't need clusters to do that, right?
Yes, you obviously have it. Right.
Yeah, usually you have to cross the data. It depends on what you want to cluster on. If you want to cluster on duration, or sessions, or interaction with people, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, you probably have to use a few problems.
So that's what we extract when we make the cluster, whatever it is. Basically, you have students, you know that they belong to a class, and after the class, you want to look at where they belong to. So for that, if you're looking for those student majors, like to which major they belong,
so the other thing I wanted to talk about was epidemic modeling.
So basically we're trying to study the so we want to see how the encounter graph is changing and how if we design a protocol, how good it is going to the base case or the best case possible. So for that, we can do epidemic modeling. What epidemic modeling does is it floods the message in the network, not necessarily flooding, but a control flooding. So using that, you can get some characteristics of the network, like what is the delay, what is the average reachability in the graph in the network, and that would serve as a base case. And now you implement your own protocol in this encounter network. Then you can measure how good your protocol works when compared to the base case, which is an epidemic graph.
So, you talk about clustering, and this is different, so this is more about routing. Right? So, maybe on Monday, if somebody has questions about routing, potentially ask this a little bit.
I'll take it.